thought of forming a company, and I went to East Montpelier one bitter cold morning, and they just opened the line that morning. They didn't have any formal opening. And there was a Captain McMillan of the United States Navy, had retired, and they laid out the line, and he was going to be the manager. He was, there's a cooperative line, you see.
Oh.
Well, I had two diesel motors and place for a third, an office, and a garage for the truck, all in the same big building. And it cost $57,000. Well, he helped me what he could about telling me about what our line might be. Well, I got home and reported all. I thought they couldn't raise $57,000 for a line there. So we had a meeting in Middlebury in the Central Vermont Kitchen with the LS5 members, representing Bridport, and five representing each one of the other two companies, the Central Vermont, the Weber's Light and Power.
Oh.
And the Central Vermont thought we hadn't subscribed for enough electricity so they could put it in. Well, they sat and talked there. And of course, we had made up our mind we couldn't raise that money. But Joe Martin sat right here at the head of the table beside me, and he grabbed that book up and he pulled the greatest bluff. He says, we don't want you to come. He says, we're going to build our own line.
Oh.
He says, Bert, got the whole diagram right out here, and he held it up and showed a diagram of the line at East Montpelier.
Oh.
And, well, they all sat down there, and they sat for a couple of minutes. Finally, one of the companies, one representing one of the companies, looked over the other side of the table. He says, Howard, you think of dividing the territory? We didn't have any more trouble.
Oh, good.
He pulled an awful bluff on those fellows.
Yes.
Of course, we used a good deal more than we subscribed for.
Yes.
And we wouldn't know how to get along without it.
Oh, no, it's so different.
There's one thing that I dread, and that's these big storms. For sure, it'll take it off for a day or two, and it can't get it hooked up.
That's right.
We did here a few years ago, I guess before you came here. There was a big storm that blocked the road. It was about this time of the year. And it came a kind of a sleet storm. And it wasn't the amount of snow, but it froze to the scraper blades.
Yes.
And they broke down, and oh, they had a terrible time. But the electric company got us hooked up before they got the roads through.
Lucky.
The men came on snowshoes.
Oh.
And fixed it up.
Huh. Good.
But I dread those times.
Oh, yes. It's hard.
I don't know what the farmers do without it.
We have a generator.
Oh, you do?
Yes.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Well, I've thought about that a good many times. I thought, I'm here so useless.
Oh, well, no. We like to hear about this.
There's one thing I thought about. I've led a long and useful life.
You certainly have.
I haven't led a brilliant life, but I've led a useful life.
We appreciate your memory.
Well, I don't know about that, but I can think that I led a useful life.
Yes.
And I found that now I have a close friend in Middlebury, Professor Phelps Sweat. You don't. I don't know him. I'll tell you, he's 84 years old, and he's most blind. But he was for years the head of the Department of Mathematics and Engineering in Middlebury, at the college.
Oh.
Yes, he was next to the president.
Oh.
And yes, he's been here to see me.
Oh, good.
Yes. Yes, I've been on the board of directors in the insurance company for most 50 years with him.
That's a record.
And he's I was on the Bridge Commission 12 years.
Oh.
And I was a town auditor 11 years. And while the milk company that wasn't running since you came here, was it?
No.
Well, they got along pretty well for a while. I was an auditor for the milk company.
Oh.
But, and I was school director 6 years.
Oh.
And I was three sessions in the House of Representatives.
In
37, 39, and 43.
Oh.
I wasn't on all the while in 43.
Oh.
But our representative had a son in California, and he was taking sick, so he went to see his son.
Oh.
And Governor Wills appointed me.
And how long were you on the draft board?
26 years.
Oh, my.
Yes, I've had different things to do. Of course, I had my farm.
Yes.
And I handled most of the insurance in Bridport.
Oh. Federal Water Grant, 1964.
Now, there's another thing that I want to call your attention to, and you'll get quite a lot of it in there. There's what they call the Edison Bridport Thief Detection Society.
Oh, yes.
And, yes, I don't expect to meet with them this year.
You have belonged to that from the beginning?
No.
No?
No, it begun in 1824.
Oh.
It was organized in the house where Guy Smith lives now.
The stone house.
Yes. But it has Edison and Bridport.
Yes.
I don't know. It tells that they don't know just what started it, but anyway, you know, they used to take big droves of cattle to Boston.
Oh.
They used to drive maybe 100 head of steers along the road.
Huh.
People used to, they used to dread and fear meeting those big droves of cattle.
Yes.
You see, they'd run into a wagon or anything.
That's right.
But anyway, Mr. Smith had taken a big drove of cattle to Boston, and he was coming back alone, and there were some thieves got after him. And some of the time he could see them, but they rode his horse, and he got home and sounded an alarm, and his men come in, and the thieves quit.
They got him. Oh.
Yes.
Was that Guy's grandfather?
I think it was a great uncle.
Great uncle. Oh.
Yes. Well, it tells in one of these papers.
Oh, there's your picture. He's your Palmer.
Oh, there's. Well, they've got that in the free press.
Oh.
And I never knew when to take them either. I think there's sometime when I was in Montpelier.
Oh.
Somebody said to me, why didn't you shave before you had your picnic? But I guess I was shaved, but
a shadow.
It's a shadow, yes. Well, that'll tell you all about me.
I would like to take it and copy it.
Yes. Well, you can take that paper, but then I've got one about the old military road. But
oh.
Kathleen hasn't found that one.
No.
There's a Miss Betty McWorthy came up and wanted her to write it up. So she wrote it up. She studied a good deal about it.
Who was that?
Miss Betty McWorthy.
Benedict Worthier?
But she, of course, has studied other things.
Yes.
And there's a Dr. Wheeler in Benson that was an authority and thought a good deal of the military roads.
Yes.
But he died a day or two ago.
Oh.
Yes, he came on the radio or television, so Mrs. Decker told me.
Oh.
But I couldn't find it in the free press. Of course, he lives in Vinson.
It would be in the Rutland.
Yeah. And this about the military roads of the Rutland Herald. This Miss McWorthy was a correspondent to the Rutland Herald. And she also, I don't know what she does now, was in the legislature at Tempe.
I don't know that name.
No.
No.
Well, she's from Rutland.
Maybe she's there. I don't know.
She might be. I don't know. But I promised her. I've got a little one now, you know, that is from the tree that General Putnam was tied to. You've read about General Putnam then.
Yes.
Tied to a tree at Crown Point to be burned by the Indians.
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
Well, there's a marker over there. You know, you go the lower road, the lake road, and you get almost at a Crown almost at a Crown Point village, and that marker's on the right-hand side of the road.
Oh.
It's at 100 feet north. This spot was where General Putnam was tied to a tree to be burned by the Indians. See, he was captured by the French and Indians in the French and Indian War. And they had bound them to this tree and set fire.
And the tree burned up everything? No?
No. Well, there's a French officer burst through the crowd of Indians and cut him loose.
Oh.
And I've got what's left of the tree, and you can have a little piece of it if you'd like it.
That would be nice.
And
they cut it down later.
Oh, they cut it down probably 6 or 7 years ago.
Oh.
And they took it, and Charlie Reed told me his father had a sawmill, and they sawed it. He said, just saw it under guard. They didn't want to lose it.
No.
Well, it was taken to a shop in Moriah. It belonged to J. Harry Gilman. He was an expert workman. And he was going to make souvenirs for I don't know what it was, other than G.A.R. or something.
Oh.
But he was one of these kind that never got around to do everything.
Oh.
And that laid under a workbench. Well, his wife had a cousin, she was also my father's cousin, that paid a good deal of attention to her and stayed with her in her last days. And she gave her place to this cousin, Mrs. Tarrant. Well, Mrs. Tarrant was an old lady. I was a young man, but I used to go to see her once in a while. She was my father's cousin. Well, one day I was there and she told me I could have that old wood if I wanted it.
Oh.
So I went and got it.
What kind of a tree?
Well, I think it was oak, but you can have a little piece of it if you'd like it.
I would.
Yes, I've only got two or three pieces about that long now. And, yes, I thought it would be a lot of old wood.
I wish we had a museum in Bridport.
Yes, I do. Well, you know there's a museum at Crown Point. You'd enjoy going there.
I've never been there.
No, it's called the Penfield Museum. At that, at Penfield, or war, I wouldn't have known about it. I thought about it, but I got acquainted with Warren Lee. He's a troubleshooter on the bridge, you know, when they have trouble with the electricity or anything. It's called the Penfield Museum. It's was the home of Captain Penfield. Captain Penfield was in the 5th New York Cavalry.
5th? 5th?
Yes. He was an officer in the 5th. And he came home, and when he died, it's within the last 7 or 8 or 9 years, they made his home into a museum.
Oh.
Yes, there was one cold morning. I had gone to Mount Peter, and I got up in the morning and went up to East Mount Peter. And in the morning they opened this electric line.
Oh.
And I had quite a visit with this Captain McMillan. Oh. And he was very kind to me and told me all he could. But, yes, well, anyway, we got it.
Yes, we're glad.
And the opening.
Yes.
And you can take that home and read it.
Thank you. I will copy it.
Well, whatever you want, take what you want from it.
Thank you.
Of course, you won't want probably all of it.
And then I'll give it to Kathleen.
Yes. This is Davis. That's Roy Davis' mother, an old lady. She said that was the biggest event they'd ever had in West Edison, except the bridge opening. You know, of course, at the time of the bridge opening, that was an awful day.
Yes.
There were hundreds of people came to the bridge opening and never got to the bridge. They closed the roads. They brought two companies of National Guard from Rutland under Major Wing. He was afterwards known as Red Wing. And they put one man on our corner, and they wouldn't let their own by there. And another one down on the corner by the walnut tree, you know.
Oh.
And they distributed the men around, and they went around by. It was poorly handled. They sent them all up around. They made them all up around by the community house. I started out just as they got there. And I told them I was going to work that day. But they wouldn't let me by. They made me go clear up around by the community house.
Oh.
Well, yes, the Methodist Church made about $300 that day.
Oh.
They had the little house at the end of the bridge, and they sold dinners and lunches and so on there.
Oh. I went to Mary Barnes' house.
You walked through it?
I did.
Yes, it's wonderful, isn't it?
Yes. I saw Mr. and Mrs. Adams.
Yes. Mrs. Adams was Mildred Holcomb before she was married.
Wayne's
sister. Mm-hmm. And she had a sister, Marion. She's dead now.
Oh.
And well, those girls used to go around with me a good deal. One time, the grandmother was Mrs. Livermore, lived there, and she said to me, "You don't mind taking Mildred and Marion around, do you?" And I said, "No, not a bit."
Where was their home?
It was about 2 miles north of us.
Oh.
There's a Dutchman lives there now.
Oh, yes.
Yes, and you cross a little bridge as you're going north.
Yeah.
And the house sits up on a hill, little hill. Yes. And Wayne never was a farmer.
Wayne,
you know Wayne, the boy, well, he's all music and...
Oh, yes.
And he fixes clocks, too.
Yes, that's right.
Yes. He takes care of the musical instruments at Middlebury College.
Oh.
I eat dinner with him once in a while. Are you still out there?
Oh.
At the restaurant?
Yes.
Yes, we was always very good friends, and I was a very good friend of his father's. I was one of the bearers at his funeral.
Oh.
And he had a sister, Ella. I went to school to her.
Oh.
Yes, I was one of the bearers of her funeral, too.
Oh. Well, what school? What school?
Right across the road from our place.
I see.
She was a little bit dense. It was awful hard sometimes on the scholars, but she was a good teacher, all right. Well,
Tell me about your farm as a boy. How many cows and...
Well, we didn't milk about 20 to 25. And we used to drive the cows over to our east pasture in the summer.
Oh.
It used to be good fishing in the creek in the spring. But after they put the dams in, the fish couldn't get up over the dams.
Oh.
They go down, but they couldn't come up good.
Oh.
I remember one morning my brother George took the cows over, and he took a trolling line and spoon, and there's a place, you can see it from the road, up about, well, between Freddie Welch's pasture and the farm that Gertie owned, where Roland is.
Yes.
And they used to get some good pickerel in there once in a while. Well, George went trolling there from the shore, and he said he hadn't thrown in only 3 or 4 times when he hooked one. I remember he come home and it weighed about 5 pounds.
Gee, that was good. And did your father have sheep?
What is it?
Did your father have sheep?
He did for a year or two, but he got sick of keeping sheep. Yes, you see, we milked cows by hand at that time.
Yes.
And you couldn't keep too many. Mr. Gibbs, that lived east of there, never used to milk in the winter.
Oh.
He'd dry his cows off in the fall, and he had a cow freshen in the falling cellar.
Oh.
But anyway, they used to get their milk at our place. But
where did you sell your sheep?
Well, he sold them to a dealer.
Oh.
Yes, I fought at them at times. I had one that was brought up a classic. I called her Rosa Posey. And she was a great pet. Now, if I was sitting down somewhere, she'd come to get in my lap and lay down.
Oh.
But I thought I'd become a Rosie Posey. But I got probably sure sold to the rest of the sheep.
Oh, yes.
I don't think there's a sheep in town now.
No.
I don't know of one.
I don't.
You see, at that time, they used to raise what they call a Spanish Merino sheep.
Yes.
And they were the wrinkly sheep, and they grew a lot of wool. And it's a job to shear them now. They couldn't shear them with these machines they have today.
No.
The wool was sticky.
Oh.
And they used to be men go around shearing sheep in the spring.
From Bridport?
Yes, those men in Bridport and Addison all around.
Oh.
They'd be sheep shearers. In our town was Henry Lucy, John Sunderland, George Edward.
Oh.
I shared one. But that was enough. So I was about a half a day shearing it.
Oh. And how long did a shearer take?
Oh, those shearers are sure 1.5 hours or so.
Oh, I see.
But I had an awful job. I was a boy. I was going to be a sheep shearer, but I didn't turn out that way.
No.
Well, anyway, there's a Mrs. Terrio in Port Henry that her husband was a cousin of Granny Comer's mother, and they lived on the house up the hill. That house wasn't there after you came here, I guess, that old house.
Probably not.
But anyway, she was in Port Henry. She died a few years ago. She said they used to go to the brook fishing. She wanted to know if everything was the same there. I said, the brook's the same, but I said, the fishing isn't very good.
Oh.
You see those cement dams? See, they put one across Otter Creek up there in Addison where the fish and game refuge is.
I see.
Down below there.
Oh.
But the water in the summer, most of it comes from our brook. That other brook, when it dries up, they're what furnished Dead Creek with water.
I see.
But there's a spring in Ashley Wilkins' pasture and another one down in our pasture, a mile below where the water always runs.
Oh.
Yes, I'll try and get those other papers if I can.
Some more on the thief detective. Oh, yes. Oh, your picture again, 85. Oh, and Merrill Wolfett.
Well, this fellow stole a horse, a nice horse, of Theodore Richards. Then he had his plans all made up. There was a south wind blowing, and he went down and drove on the ferry boat there at the opposite Trump Point, Mrs. Brooks' boat.
Yes.
And he was going to sail right up through to Canada with this horse. Well, the wind went down, and he had to land on Willow Point. The Willow Point is where the Smiths and where I think the old road started.
Oh.
And this led the way. But anyway, he left the ferry boat there and drove north. In the morning, he got across the lake and he drove the horse straight on to Spurs, New York.
Oh.
And he drove it so far he killed her.
Oh.
And, Thief Detective Society got after him, and I remember they brought him back and sent him to Windsor Prison for 6 years.
Oh. Whose horse was it?
It belonged to Theodore Richards.
Oh.
And he lived on the first farm south of the brick schoolhouse.
Oh. Where it's burned now. Where the house burned.
Yes, I guess it did. Anonymous is McCullen.
Oh.
Yes, I didn't know it was burned, though. But anyway, Mrs. McCullen fixed up quite a number of, had quite a number of houses there.
Yes.
Well, in one of these papers, there's a joke that Gertie Coleman told us.
Oh.
These meetings, see, the ladies go now, and they have the meeting one year and Anderson, the next year in Bridport.
Yes.
And the Bridport ladies have get the pay for the dinner in Bridport and the Baptist Church in Anderson when they have it in Anderson.
Oh.
I don't know which it'll be this year.
I don't know either.
You would like to go to it.
Yes.
Of course, it's the men that belong, but they're allowed to take the ladies.
I was interested in reading in a book that the first dwelling in Vermont was made up in Isle of Mont, and the second one was the fort of Mary Barnes'
yes.
house.
See, that house is on the foundation of the old fort that was there.
Yes.
Yes, Mr. Barnes took great pride in it. It belonged, it didn't belong, it comes to the Barnes family. His mother's name was Crane.